This is Scott Wells for the MagicBoardPodcast.com, and we are here actually in the breakout room, and we're getting ready to invite some other guests to come in here shortly. And before we get started, I know a lot of times when I go to magic conventions that I always pick up some donuts. Thought I'd let you know I've got some voodoo donuts, and just so you can kind of see some of the selections that I have. Then there is a Portland cream, as well as what's called an old DB, ODB, old dirty bastard. There's one that has peanut butter and chocolate, and I don't know what else on it, but it is awesome looking, and I'm sure it's going to taste even better, which we will dine on then later. And of course, then a good cup of coffee from our 4F mug then as well. So we have that. So anyhow, we're going to be having some folks who will be joining us here shortly, who are going to be coming into the room, find out how they are enjoying the convention so far. It's just gotten started. We just had the Broken Wand Ceremony by Mary Yedid, who did this for Obi O'Brien, who recently passed, who is the head forker, as well as we have then the teach a trick. And we had a lot of really cool things. And some of the guys will talk about some of the people and some of the tricks that they had taught. So we'll get back to you in just a moment, and we will talk with them. Right now, I've got in the room over here with me Dan Garrett and then also Mike Joseph. Hey, guys.
Hello. How are you?
Fantastic. Fantastic. So we are yet again doing another virtual convention. So, Dan, what do you think? How are you liking it so far?
Well, first of all, we open with a broken wand for Obi. Very touching, very emotional. Mayor Yedid, fantastic job. I'm glad that Mike Joseph has provided the donuts again.
Good job, Mike.
Virtually. That's virtually, Dan. So they're invisible. So,
right. Well, I did a little virtual Garnack, but that occurred to me after Michelle said that they put the French flag next to his picture. And I used an old Bornack line about French.
Go ahead.
Anyway,
tell us that again.
The answer is French dressing, French fries, and Michelle Huo. The question is, name three things that aren't French. So you got a good reaction.
He's Canadian, not French. Exactly.
Yes, correct. So, and that's what really inspired that. We did that for Boris in the year. Boris was a guest of honor, and yeah. He did a Bornack routine, and we wrote some lines for him and us. Anyway, I didn't get to involve Gene this year, but that was sort of a serendipitous spur of the moment idea.
Go ahead.
Getting to the real question, I thought the teacher trick was excellent. I saw most of it, but I went to fix me some brunch towards the end, and I was hoping they would at least provide a video of the teacher trick. Even if I don't care about the performances and the rest of it that they don't want to show, but that would be great to review a trick or to see a teacher trick that I didn't get to see. I think we should petition the powers that be to provide that one video.
Well, I think I know that it's being recorded, and perhaps upon request to Michelle or Rune, they might have that online somewhere or put it in the cloud that you can view it.
Yeah, I think I could do that on my own, but I would like for the efforts to be on behalf of all the 4Fers who attended this particular virtual convention.
I'd like to have seen all of that as well, because unfortunately my connection was unstable and it cut out on part of that, particularly whenever Joe Turner first started talking about this card force. That was kind of cool.
Yeah. So I that. I think, you know, even if they just had the instructions on some of the tricks, because it went pretty quickly, and I did like Mark's trick, and actually, all of them were very good, and you know, and didn't seem too complicated. I mean, they were very practical, both for virtual and if you're doing it live. So I thought everybody did really well, and it's very hard to do things virtually today with technology cutting in and out at times, and. And you don't see the reaction of the group. I've been on a lot of virtual meetings and that through work and doing magic. and you always feed off the audience. And you can't do that virtually for the most part, as live, obviously. So
I love the trick, of course, that David Cusero was showing, which was the one he had used to fool Penn and Teller with. And were you there, Mike, years ago when David had done that in his lecture at Fechter's?
Yes.
I had used that. I remember that was just so brilliant. As I recall, it had something to do with his girlfriends or something, just for girlfriends, and he had one that ended up his wife or something, I think was the premise or something.
Yes.
But I thought it was very clever. He's very, very
it,
clever.
It is, and that simple hand motion, it just goes to show you that you don't need to be complicated on fooling somebody, even
right.
magicians.
even the professionals in order to win a trophy.
Yeah.
Right. Well, that's what I missed, and I didn't see that in the teacher trick, but I do see we have a friend from Las Vegas joining us, Gene.
Las Hello, Vegas.
Gene.
Hey, Gene Protis. Hello.
Yeah.
Yeah, so we got from Houston, Texas, our friend from across town over here, Gino. Hey, Gino.
I'm in Vegas. Sorry about that. I will introduce myself to the group later as, hi, I'm Dan Garrett, the Mark D'Souza of the South.
That's great. Good to see you, Mike.
Good to see everybody. I mean, wish it was live, but understanding, you know, we're still being very safe, which is a good thing.
So yeah, in the motto of the Cleveland Guardians, just wait till next year.
Yeah, yeah.
Listen, but I believe next year will happen.
Oh yes.
Yeah, I think it will. But you know, I guess as I always say, time will tell, and what will happen will happen. But you know, to me, getting together even virtually is great because you get to see some of the friends. But we're into, what, Dan, 3 years now? This would be the third year that we have not been live.
Yeah, 2020, 21, 22, yes.
But the first year was not one that was authorized by Obie from the standpoint he said, I want this to be live and I don't want you to use the 4F name or whatever. And he wasn't certain how that was going to turn out. And as it did, of course, it was wonderful. And he bought into it completely for the next year, which was really cool last year. And got Mark Zachariah and David Prouty. Why don't you guys unmute over there then too, so you can join us. I think they just joined the room and they're out for a sandwich.
Mark got a phone call.
Oh, he did. Okay. I'm going to see if I can. There's David Prouty.
Hi, David.
Hey, gentlemen. Hey, Dan.
Hello,
hey,
David.
Hey, so, David. Is David, you're the one who officially makes these bookmarks every year, which are great. And so tell me, of course, Mark Mason was supposed to be the guest of honor for the 50th. And so I assume you already had those ready to go. So they have the year on that, like 2020, then marked off, and then 21 marked off, and 22. what does the thing look like this year?
Well, I actually finished Mark's bookmark. About 2 years ago,
mm-hmm.
and before the pandemic, and it hasn't been sent to the printer, but I don't know if you can see this. This is just a scrap draft. It's going to look something like that, but then, of course, the pandemic happened, and so for the first virtual 4F convention, I actually put a little face mask over that.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have a copy of that right now, but I think, Scott, you've seen that one.
Right.
I was actually thinking of printing those out. Go ahead and print up the face mask version just for a limited edition.
But will you put that next year, say 2023, so it'll look like there'll be 3 years skipped?
I'm not exactly sure how I'm going to address that. But golly.
Well, actually, he's been guest of honor for the last 3 years, in essence.
That's a good way of putting it. Man, we were really honoring him.
We got Christian Schenck, and I think Charming Choi is still, what I understand, going to be a guest of honor. from Korea, and I just found out Charming Choi went and entertained Kim Jong-un and the South Korean president when they met. So wow.
And he got out.
Yeah. He got out.
David, just
so David, you could go from 20- to 23. Yeah.
That's great.
Just put in all three days and commas between them.
I think that's a great idea. It's confusing, but I think just the year 2023 should be sufficient.
Yeah.
Then there'll be that gap, and then people in the future will say, what happened there? And we'll say, check your calendars.
Oh, well, yeah, there was that
pandemic. Where were you during the pandemic, right? Yeah.
I would actually like to, and because I give a printed version to the guest of honor, of course, signed by everybody. I think if we could, I still probably would like to print one out of Mark Mason with the face mask on.
I agree.
For the off year, just for his own personal collection. Anyway.
That'd be funny. And so have any of you other guys attended live conventions yet?
Yes.
Yeah. Dan and I were at SAM.
Well, that was 2021, correct? Which I understand there were a few. No. What? 2020. What is it, 2020?
2022 in Vegas.
It was 2020. Yeah.
This year.
Oh, we just had January earlier this year.
Yeah, it was January. And then we got Magic Live coming up. But Scott, you've been to a whole bunch of them.
I have been, actually, since last August was the first one. I went to the Abbott's Get Together and then continued from there to Magi Fest and Tricks Convention, and Scott Robinson's thing, and of course the TAOM and some others, and a lot more planned here this year. So the fact that they are having this virtually confounds me a little bit from the standpoint that everyone, I mean, all others are doing live conventions. However, I understand at the time they were planning this, it was uncertain as to what the conditions were going to be like as far as some countries allowing people out of the country to come in to the U.S., as well as what kind of variants or strains we might have. So it's been...
Well, I think also, I also think... we had to make a decision, and I know Dan was part of this being on the board as myself. We had to make a decision before everybody made travel and that of what New York State was going to be doing. And at that time, they were still in a lockdown and or in a minimal gathering of less than 100 people. So it was... I think those all played the part in, and not sure how many people gotten in from overseas because of what the regulations would have been coming across. And then the last thing, which is a consideration, was Canada was really locked down, and getting across the borders from Canada to the United States, it was like an act of Congress to try to do that. So I think you would have lost a lot of them.
Yeah, Canada was a major consideration. Now, Mike and I can't speak for the board of directors. Oh, wait, yeah, we can.
Yes, we can.
But there are some things that we are privy to that we don't speak about, but there's not too much of that right now. No secrets right now.
Right.
Right. Well, I understand that. And I would probably say that between Canada and overseas, attendees probably make up, what would you say, Mike, 50%?
Yeah, I mean, it was probably between 40 to 60% if you count Canada,
right,
as coming over. So to me, you know, I think the safety of all of our brothers in 4F, it was the major concern. Mm-hmm. And I think that was a good thing, even though love to have, you know, been live.
And by the way, time, the weather
Yeah. And by the way, the weather is beautiful here today.
But do you had a go or no-go kind of a situation. It's like, what are we going to do? I'm sure time kind of came to a point saying, okay, better to be safe than sorry. And when I was talking with Glenn Brown about that, he was basically saying, I didn't want to be the conventions that's responsible for, because the average age of people is a lot older at this convention. And not that there are
average age is deceased.
It's right. So the not that we're all have immunity compromised immunity, but Glenn was saying, I don't want to be the convention that people will remember for the place where there was a viral outbreak, basically.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
Legionnaire's disease.
Yeah, like Legionnaire's disease. Yeah.
Yeah. Safety is the was the main concern as well. But all the other factors played an important part in the decision, because things were still in limbo, especially in New York State. Mm-hmm. So that's
There's still a lot of things that we can do. And we have over the last couple of years learned how to do this better virtually from the standpoint of being able to understand Zoom and how to interact. And everyone has camera and microphone and knows how to use that and how to plan a convention. And I think Michelle and Rune have done a good job of putting together this this one day thing very efficient. And as we talked about to begin with, that the Broken Wand that Marietta did was very well done before Obie. The teacher trick was great. And what we've got coming up next, it's going to be the dealer show.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They've done a great job. And, you know, technology is tricky with all of the components. We're just not saying we're going to do it for this small area. We're worldwide. And that's a feat. All these people from across the world joining this technology, I think it's really great.
Yes,
they've done a great job. Let me put it that way.
It saves on airfare. That's one thing.
Yeah, you're not kidding.
Not you.
That's for sure.
Actually, Scott, I just realized I can 3D print whistles with the 4F logo on them.
Really?
Yeah.
Make it so.
Yeah.
Better start now if we're going to print 200 of them.
You got plenty of time, dude.
He goes to sleep and lets the printer run itself.
Exactly.
Gene is Mr. 3D printer.
He is. Hey, I'm going to close this for right now. I mean, the room can stay open, but I just wanted to stop recording. I want to thank you guys very much for being in here. We're going to be back in the room then later just to kind of talk about what's going on throughout the day. So please come back after we're finished. I mean, again, stay here. I'm just going to stop the recording. And then when we have the next time when you get back in the room, I just want to kind of give an update as to what's happening on the on this convention.
Excellent. So, thank you. On. Thank you all for right. hosting.
Thanks, Scott.
You're welcome. Thank you, guys. So Dan McGinnis from Tucson. So we just had the dealer show followed by a little TED talk, and I thought it was kind of interesting as far as the dealer show that Christian Fechner and Card Shark have been coming out with this smaller deck, and he still calls it a poker size, but it's really not the official poker size. Is that right? Is that kind of what you got out of that?
Yeah, it looks like it's a little smaller, and I thought I saw they showed a video clip. I thought it looked like someone had those, but I guess they're smaller, so they're easier to handle, but they're still very visible, like in a parlor setting.
Right. They're not narrow like a bridge size, so it still has the same dimension. Aspect ratio, exactly. But what I also liked about them is they have the larger number. So even when you're spreading them out, it's not proportionally smaller. Digits are still large.
Right, exactly.
So they got some pretty cool stuff. Yeah, Christian Schenck was talking about all the difficulties he's gone through, and he selected the name Phoenix correctly because he had to come back from a fire, a divorce, all kinds of problems. And
yeah, I was going to text in the text field answers to the name of Lucky. If you remember that joke.
Yes, about the dog. Yeah. And yeah, three legs and an eye missing. Right. And
exactly. That's what it sounded like.
Exactly. He had a lot of issues and problems. And so that was one of the things that's coming out that's going to be new. And then he kind of shared something else that was going to be for Medalist that sounds super. We're not going to talk too much about that, but yeah. That sounds like that is an impossible thing we might be seeing in the future. Let's see what else. Who else? Marietta had a couple of things kind of cool.
Yeah, it did. He's that panel board. I'd never heard of that before, but that seems kind of intriguing where you had the little penny disappeared on the board,
right?
That thing he showed, and then the blank coin and the mirror coin,
right? Yeah. And I've got Mike Joseph who's joined us here then as well. And the deal is, it seems like from see if I can get you there we go, Mike, get you unmuted as well. The mirror coin that Mayer is selling is pretty cool. So you can use as a shiner. It looked like it was kind of, I guess, concave, so it actually makes it even larger when you're looking at the reflection.
Yeah, exactly.
And some other stuff. Who was the other person that was the other dealer?
Mark Trudell.
That's right.
And he had some chop cup and cups and balls stuff with tennis balls. And then he had I thought it was kind of cool, this little billiard ball rack that can kind of use like an open purse frame, and you could do sponge balls with billiard ball sponge balls.
Mm-hmm. And beyond that, you could do a whole rack. It had a wand that was kind of like a small pool cue kind of a thing.
And then, and the tennis net, you could do the
cups and balls, three ball, tennis balls,
or the three ball routine where they hold the tennis net. You know, when you do like the David Roth three ball trick where they're holding the net.
Right.
It seems kind of interesting.
Yeah. Instead of a square net, it actually looked like a net with a white thing across the top, like a tennis court net. And with
exactly.
Yeah, I thought that was very clever then as well. So, you know, those were just a few of the dealer things. I just had the three dealers that were showing. And then, Mike, I just want to get your opinion. Since I was hosting the TED Talk thing with John Ornoy and Sean Farquhar regarding their upcoming movie, Lost in the Shuffle, what are your thoughts about that? And, Dan, I want to hear yours as well. But, Mike, first?
Well, I think Sean is such a superb actor and magician and person. Just in general. And so my time knowing him through 4F, just wonderful. Doesn't surprise me in the least that he would be pulling together or getting together to do something to promote more magic somehow, some way, with cards or whatever. I thought it was fabulous. I mean, it was inspiring to see the enthusiasm.
Well, Sean's always he's enthusiastic about everything. I mean, if he gets new kitty litter for his cat, he's, I got some new litter today.
Yeah, and I think that is contagious.
Yeah,
throughout all of this, and even more so virtually. And I keep going back to virtual because you don't see the reaction for the most part from the audience if you're just on. But you know, just to see the and I was going through the gallery, and everybody was really intense listening, and I think that is so cool. And but you know, great magicians, great actors, great people are able to bring people in and keep their attention on almost anything. So I think it's just great.
Dan, were you aware of the movie coming out or any of the project that were
you know out? I think I might have read it in one of the magic like a genie. They might have mentioned that they were making that documentary a couple months back, the symbols on a playing card, and that kind of opened up Sean's interest. And then he saw that symbol in France, and they started asking, what does that symbol mean? And then he just kind of got obsessed with, you know, what is the meaning of all these cards? I was interested in when it was going to come out. Also, how it would be available. Is it going to be, you know, is it going to be stream on Netflix or is it going to be on YouTube? I was curious as to that. And also, I think it'd be interesting to maybe have a book associated.
Companion.
With it. Yeah, so that you could learn all the symbology of all the cards. I thought it was interesting how he talked about, it started with the King of Hearts with that one symbol. And so I actually pulled it out and looked for that symbol. And that's the one that's got the knife going through the king's head. And he said originally that was the was an axe going through the king's head, and now the King of Diamonds, I think, has an axe. So I'd be interested. It does make you interested in the history and the.
I think it was interesting also that obviously he was just biting his tongue, wanting to share more, but that's the crux of the movie. It's like, you don't want to tell the ending of a movie if you're involved in it. That's the problem when you see people who are on these talk shows who are talking about movies. There are only so many things that they can talk about because they want people to come and buy a ticket, you know?
Yep, exactly. You know, and Dan, to go back a comment that you made, you know, it's interesting to know the history.
I noticed the Queen of Spades also has that same shape.
The Queen of Spades also, you mean, has sword going in her head?
No, it's got that little. It looked like a fleur-de-lis. Yeah, let me put it up there if you can see.
Yeah. Oh, I see what you're saying. In her vestments.
Yeah. Exactly. So I mean, I'd be interested in seeing it and learn what all these meanings are. And then William Watt, William Watt mentioned he had a book in France that talked about the geometry of all the different cards and how mathematical they are. And then the other thing was I didn't know was that the actual designs of these cards have been passed down for a long time. So even the U.S. playing cards company does not have the copyright of those patterns.
Except the Ace of Spades. I thought that interesting too. I guess obviously just the back design as far as the bicycle cards, because that was going back again to the dealers. That was what Christian Schenck was talking about, trying to fight with the U.S. playing card company to get them to let him design, even though his design was different. They're trying to protect the brand of something and looked even close.
Yep.
But I thought it was interesting. I didn't realize that the essential design goes all the way back. As someone had pointed out, I believe the Chinese had it in 1000 BC or something, but it was completely different and nothing of what they then used later.
Yep.
Alan, I got Alan Fisher joining us then also. Hey there, Alan.
Greetings.
So what were some of your favorite things here we just saw or heard as far as dealers or the TED Talk thing?
The TED Talk was fascinating, just watching the two guys talking about how they came up with the idea for the documentary and how one idea fed into another and how Sean started with this thought and then he met the producer who then had an idea, who then had an idea, who then had an idea, and it became layered almost in a sense like they were shuffling the deck of cards in their mind of the story. Of where it was going to go and how it was going to run, and they could see the spread from start to finish, and now it's a matter of going out and filming and putting together what they had envisioned in their minds.
Yeah, I hadn't thought of it that way, but that was kind of interesting about how they were just kind of shuffling together, and it did melt into a full deck by the time they were finished. I thought...
And of course, it became in full deck order, you know, new deck order. That's always how you have to end your shuffle.
Came full circle, of course. What do you say that was? Lostintheshuffle.film, I think, was the website.
That was the website, lostintheshuffle.film. They also said you could find it on Facebook and several of the other social media sites. Just look for Lost in the Shuffle.
Right. Now, I got Mark D'Souza who just joined us then also. Hi there, Mark.
Hey, Scott. How are you?
Fantastic, my friend. So you were one of the people, I think, who was an early supporter of Lost in the Shuffle, right?
Yeah. I think I popped it. I got in like in the first hour.
Yeah. It sounds like that's going to be a phenomenal project.
Yeah. I thought the concept of the movie was really interesting, and there's, you know, it's a great story, no matter how you look at it. And I think it has, you know, I think it has appeal outside of magic, obviously, but even outside of, you know, anybody who's interested in playing cards. I think it's just an intriguing story to begin with.
Yes. In that regard, there are some people who are listening to this audio who were not privy to watching what we just saw and heard. Can one of you, well, Mark, can you kind of give us a short snippet as to what Lost in the Shuffle is about, what the court card conspiracy is about and what he's doing?
Well, basically, there has been an accepted lineage of who those cards represent, various rulers and dignitaries throughout history. What Sean found in a tour of I believe it was a castle in France, a stained glass representation of one of those playing cards that actually wasn't a playing card. It was actually one of the kings. And he began researching it and going through history. It seems like with some minor changes that happened throughout history, the earliest depictions of those cards were duplicating things that actually happened in history. And mm-hmm. that's been, as they say, lost in the shuffle.
Or a king may have been killed or committed suicide. Or...
Exactly. It was actually a historical representation of a murder that took place.
And I thought it was interesting. He said something about that he could not, like when the first king had died, they had to wait for like another succession before like the third king down the row, you know?
Correct. Because that king never would have said, oh yes, I killed him.
Right.
So there were some generations in there, but also because of, you know, like playing Whisper Down the Lane, when those images were, I won't say shipped, but appropriated from country to country to country, mm-hmm. there were minor variations in those playing cards. For instance, you know, as Sean says, the king with the sword in his head, originally it was an axe in the head. And mm-hmm. that was the big clue, I think, that tipped him off that, oh, maybe there's more to this story than meets the eye.
And so I think that should be a very good film. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it should be.
So we are having a virtual convention, essentially, and we're kind of getting out of doing virtual conventions. You think this may be one of the last in the series, if you will? I mean, as we're coming out of the pandemic, that hopefully, I mean, you guys have any thoughts about virtual conventions you've attended over the last couple of years, or the direction of that in the future? Anybody?
Yeah, I could chime in
ahead,
from my experience, not only in magic, but in the food service industry, mm-hmm. where we've done a lot of virtual things. I think it's going to be a combination of both, live and virtual, as the technology improves. Certain things that could be done virtually, to gather more of an audience, I think that's going to stay. The live stuff will never go away because that is just too important,
sure.
and just too impactful. But because of the technology, and I think the pandemic, in my eyes, sped up this technology world of virtual. So I don't think it's going to go away. I don't think it's going to be as prevalent as we've been doing through the pandemic. But there's going to be things where they want to gather something like the TED Talks, that type of thing where it can be done effectively virtually will have that technology or a combination of both.
I agree. This is Alan. The virtual part of it will be a component going forward, but the live conventions are the heart and soul of our art form, of our industry, getting together with your friends, the late night jams. You'll do those in person, but I think there's always going to be a component. Like at the IBM convention coming up in July, the 100th anniversary convention in Atlanta, I'm going to be hosting a live Zoom event from the convention, Ring 2100, the online ring. I host their monthly gatherings every month, and we're doing our July gathering live from the convention so that all the IBM members who can't make it to Atlanta can at least be a part of the convention. We'll try to take some footage and show them, you know, a walk through the dealer room and what it was like there.
Very
and
cool.
I think that's going to be a big key going forward, is being able to have a moment or a segment of your convention so that magicians around the world who couldn't get to that can still participate and be a part of it.
That's a good point.
I'd kind of echo what both Alan and Mike said to some degree, but not completely. I believe that for a long, long time, we are going to have hybrid events. I can tell you in my own business, we rarely have live meetings anymore. We're doing everything with Zoom now. And I don't have that many geographic locations. It's just so much easier to do. The technology is there for us to be able to do it easily. It's saving time. It's saving money. It's saving effort. It just...
Well, we're seeing a geographic switch also, I think, that has to do exactly with what you're saying there, Mark, from the standpoint that if people can live wherever they want to live, they may as well be in a sunshine state or near a fishing hole in Montana or wherever, particularly like you're saying, Mark, if it's not important that people geographically live in a particular place, they may as well live wherever. And we're seeing that shift and in the United States.
But at the same time, I also have to echo again what Alan and Mike are saying, that in our case, because, you know, we are, it's not just the meeting, it's not just the lecture, it's not just the show, it's the gathering, it's the social aspects, it's the face-to-face. True. Yes, you can do social gathering on Zoom. We're doing it right now. The problem is you're just not face-to-face. You're not in the same space, and you are missing something there. So I think there is a good possibility for organizations that have the financial and technical wherewithal to do it, a hybrid conference can be a good thing, because there are people that are going to want to be there live. It makes sense to have the presenters, whether they be performers or lecturers, it makes sense to have them there live, to field questions live, to engage in that camaraderie off time, but to make some of those events open to people who are online that can't get there, either for geographical reasons or, you know, in our case right now, health reasons. You know, I'm not traveling to conventions yet. It's you know, it's a little dangerous still.
Well, you already learned the hard way.
Out of it.
You already learned the hard way. I said, you already learned the hard way once.
I learned the hard way. Yeah. For those who don't know, I was supposed to be one of the performers and lecturers at the SAM convention in Las Vegas in January. The day before I was to find out, to fly out, I tested positive for COVID. So I had to cancel out. Boy, you know, that was horrible. I hated not being there. And hearing how good it was from other people didn't help. Eric DeCamps was there, but couldn't perform on the Saturday night show because he contracted COVID while he was there. You know, and I know of at least four other performers who contracted COVID during the convention or had it going in and just didn't know it. You were not out of the woods yet, you know, and it's going to be a while. I mean, I've spoken to a number of people who have more medical knowledge and scientific knowledge than I do, certainly. And most of them are saying, we're looking in another couple of years before.
I don't disagree, Mark, but as we move through, and everything that everybody said here is so spot on. And I just want to add one last comment, Scott, that, you know, you can't emphasize the importance of the networking over a beer, a cup of coffee.
Right.
You just can't emphasize the importance of that. Here, let me show you a little bit different way of doing that trick or the handling of it. And that is over a beer, coffee, beverage, or whatever. Correct. And those are impromptu. They're not scheduled. They're just impromptu.
Part of the sessions, when you're just sessioning with someone.
Yeah.
BSing and having a good time.
Exactly.
And say, oh, that reminds me, by the way. Well, yeah, that reminds me. I did. Here's my variation. Before long, you got a session going.
Exactly. Exactly. And you can't, how do I want to say it? You can't put how much value that is when you're live. You can't see that really virtually. I mean, you get a little piece of it here and there, but it's that impromptu and that's why 4F, the breakout rooms and the hospitality suite. That hospitality suite, I can't tell you how many people, including myself, got the advantage of watching great magic. I'll share this little quick story with you. Pabal came in just as we were closing the hospitality room, and there was only myself and one other person. He sat down, and for the next 40 minutes, he was showing us some, just the two of us, some unbelievable magic and teaching us. Mm-hmm. And it was, you can't, put a dollar value on that.
That's true. And you can't plan that either. It's just organic. You just have to be at the right place at the right time.
Exactly.
And the 4F is one of those things that does place us in those situations where things like that can happen.
Yeah, it affords you the availability of doing that.
Right.
Yeah. It's also great at a place like 4F where you're sitting in the lobby and you start to try to, you're just fiddling with your cards according to something, and you're just not quite getting the pinky break or the second. Six different people walk over and they take your hands and will literally place them in the right position and move you around to teach you and share with you how you're supposed to be doing it. You can't get that over the internet. But when you're at a convention, when you're gathered with magicians, that's what happens. Somebody just walks over and says, oh, I see you're working on a bottom deal. No. You're holding your, here, let me show you. And they're just moving your hand around and they're passing that knowledge on to you tactily. Mm-hmm. And you immediately understand and learn. You just can't get that over the internet. You've got to be in person. No,
that's true. Well, that's why I'm looking forward to this being in person next year. Hopefully that'll all happen.
I hope so. I hope so, Mark, because, you know, when we're at conventions, and another story I'll quickly share, Gene Anderson, what a gentleman in his own right. I was hosting a dinner at the hotel in our room. It was one of the conventions, and we invited a few people over for dinner. And after dinner, this was a Residence Inn type of setting. So it was a kind of a apartment style. And he's leaning on the fireplace, telling us how the torn and restored newspaper, how Doug Henning put it nationally on a national TV, and how he taught Doug Henning that. Oh my God. But I mean, I was like a kid in a candy store, quite frankly.
Hearing those stories from history, our history.
Yeah. Yes. Our history. Yes.
That's great. Well, listen, I'm going to just cut this recording. We can still hang here for a bit, but I will get back together then after the next one, just to get the lowdown and an update on what happened during the next thing. Cause I think we got coming up. What is it? There's going to be the International Gala Show. And then we'll take another break. And then there's going to be a surprise guest show. And typically we have Stephen Bergazzi and Rick Merrill who close the show. And I would not be surprised if they have something to do with the surprise. But we shall see. By the time you hear this all the way through, you will have known also. So going to sign off with them right now. Thank you very much to Mike Joseph, and also to Alan Fisher and Mark D'Souza. And we had Dan McGinnis join us there a while ago. So hang on. We'll be back then again later. But for now, Scotty out. Well, we just finished the evening gala show. We still have yet a surprise guest coming up. But speaking of guests, one of the people I want to have seems like annually for the 4F convention, providing a little background and color and kind of telling you what we just saw, was Mark D'Souza. I got him again with me. Mark, hey, Mark, how's it going, man?
Great, Scott. How you doing?
Fantastic. Wasn't that a really good show? Man, that was like bam, bam, bam. I mean, they had one right after the other. Didn't have to worry about it.
Boy, if it could only work that fast live.
I was just going to say, exactly.
We get to the coffee and donuts much quicker.
That's right. Keep it moving.
Or the limoncello, depending on which room.
And some of that cheese that they always bring.
Oh, yeah.
Phenomenal.
Oh, yeah.
So tell me, since you were keeping some notes, tell the audience over here what was going on.
Great show. Henry Evans led off. Any show is great when you can lead off with such a heavy hitter. Did a fantastic ace production and ace cutting routine. Then this thing where he did this card wash on the table and had a spectator wash the cards. And he just did this impossible looking card memorization routine, even ending blindfolded. It just built and built an impossibility. Yeah. And it's just a great commercial routine. He was followed by another South American, Bernardo Sedlicek, who is a young guy who is just miraculous. He just creates such great magic. He had a routine where a thought of card appears between two kings. He had a thought of card just appear where somebody told him to stop. And he finished with his settle the deck routine, which he calls soul of the deck. Just this incredible production, reversal of a card in a pack that's just laying there on the table, just a card created by several spectators, and then the rest of the deck is shown blank. Just a wonderful trick and beautifully executed.
You said that some of that was taught in his lecture tour. Is that right? A few years
ago?
Yeah.
That's something that was taught in his lecture tour. Fantastic, in fact. He was followed by my buddy, Mike Kaminskis. I'm saying my buddy. They're all my buddies. Yeah. Who did the classic John Ramsey cylinder and coins.
From the Sparta Theater.
Yep. And both he and Eric DeCamps are performing at the Sparta Theater this weekend. And so they broadcast from the theater.
Very cool.
So Mike led off before Eric. He did the cylinder and coins, did a beautiful job with it. Then came Magic Mickey Garcia from Spain. Phenomenal routine. I mean, there was just so much that went on. First aces appear between jokers. Then the jokers turn to the other aces. The aces travel to the deck. Then the adds a selection. The aces change to the mates of the selection. And then they all vanish. It was just one effect after another, beautifully blended together into a wonderful cohesive routine. He was followed by Horat Wu, a great FISM winner. And he has a spectator just call out numbers. And the aces appear at those numbers. And then he does the open travelers with them, where he has some smoke to add some extra mystery to the open travelers. Very lovely. Back to the Sparta Theater for Eric DeCamps, doing his handling of another John Ramsey trick, the coins to hat. But Eric's handling is much different. And his coins appear in his pocket, or they're dropped into the pocket instead of into a hat. Nice, very modern routine. And he did a very nice thank you at the end to all the 4F members, which will be indelible and only for the 4F members. He was followed by another Chinese performer, Tang Daly, who's a TV star in his native China. And he did this beautiful routine, a multi-phase routine to music, with ace productions and then variations on the open travelers. And as that happens, the aces change to queens. He does open travelers, a different handling again. And then the queens change to aces, which vanish one by one. I have to comment, not only was the music great, the choreography of this entire routine was magnificent. Just stellar performance. Tang was followed by Woody Aragon, one of our favorites from Spain. And Woody did the effect that he did, the first trick he did at 4F, which was a great trick with a card selection. And then he brings out jumbo cards that were cut into quarters. They're spread on the table. Four of those are selected and he pieced together to form a single card, which is, of course, the card selected. Very nice routine. He was followed by Boris Wild, who did a tribute to Obi. And you know, Boris is kind of known as one of Obi's sons. Yeah. There were very few. Boris was one of them. This is a really heartfelt tribute. And what he did was he took elements from his famous award-winning Kiss act and his Butterfly act and combined them together into this beautiful tribute with blank cards that turned to 4Fs and then turned to a picture of Obi. It was just a really lovely tribute and of course, so well done. And as tradition dictates, the show was closed by Bargatze and Merrill doing no magic whatsoever. They were joined by David Corsaro, who is one of the writers of their presentations every year. But it was a very funny trio thing where they were just lampooning magic and some of our 4F brothers and sisters, and they're all going straight to hell. So it was a wonderful show, and it's not the end of the day. There's a Zoom session going on, breakout rooms, of course, and then a special show, which we don't know what it is. So we're all waiting on pins and needles for that.
We don't, and that was what's interesting, because I thought that David Corsaro and Rick and Steven were going to be closing the show, and they closed, I guess, kind of officially in a way, but
That was the official close to the convention.
Yeah.
This thing in the end is a show that's just being presented as a gift for the members.
That's pretty cool. Okay. That's great. Mark, thank you. I know you got a place to go.
I've got to run, and thank you, Scotty. And next year in Batavia in person.
Live in person. We'll see you there and all these other guys. And
thank you, my Mark. Friend. Take care of yourself.
We'll see you. That's Mark D'Souza. Bye-bye. See you later. 4F, 4F. Wow, that was pretty incredible. We just had from the Czech Republic, I wrote down Andrej Pisnicki, something like that. I'm sure I mispronounced the name, but that was pretty incredible. And so I got with me then again, Mike Joseph. Hey, Mike, what do you think? Man, afternoon, what a day.
Yeah, it was just great. And thank you for co-hosting as well. Everybody did a great job. It was, each year with the technology, it gets better. And I'll tell you, if you can't be at 4F, this was one way to do it. But I hope that we'll be live at 4F in 2023.
I can't say this was a poor substitute, but it was a substitute.
Right.
Because I could feel and sense in everyone's reactions and their comments. It's like, I so wish we could be there to enjoy a cup of coffee together, a handshake, a hug, and to share a trick or whatever. But we were still able to do this. And just the joy that everyone had to see each other and to talk with each other, even though we weren't there live. And so you're right. This was something good that we're all looking forward to next year, getting back together.
Yes. And once again, thank you. I'm going to sign off.
All right.
This was wonderful.
Thanks, Mike. Appreciate it.
Thank you
for being here. We'll see you next year. Okay.
I hope so. Thank you.
And so, as I was mentioning, the gentleman from Czech Republic, Andrej Pisnicki, and I'm going to close out then with this, just saying he was incredible. He did a virtual show that can only be done virtually. And he had one of the things that he was closing with was like, I don't know, about a 15-minute routine in which he was interacting with himself. It was kind of like the Brady Bunch and he had one person in the middle who was one of the people from the group who was from the Zoom room, basically, in the middle. And then the rest of the people were around him. And it was just pretty darn incredible. And the way that he had someone select a book, but you didn't know who was live and who was recorded because he eventually had talked with himself several times. So it was, again, just a Zoom thing that you could not do live. And so he had created this whole show called Magnolia just for that. So I just want to say thank you guys very much for coming, and to all those people who had interacted as well for this. We kind of got a little bit longer than what I know normal as far as my convention report, but it was all in one day and a lot of stuff going on. I want to thank everybody who you heard there as well. And so until next time, and I don't know what's going to be happening this next week, but we're going to be having another episode on Thursday. This is our special convention report from the virtual convention 49.9, I guess we'll call it. So until later, this is Scotty out.